All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio. And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, CW-2 helicopter type pilot, Vietnam 1969. Welcome to Veterans Radio. We're really excited to have you here today. This is, as many of you know, we're going into our 20th year and coming up on our 1,000th episode, which is not easy for me to say. But that's a lot of stories. And so we're planning on telling a lot more of those stories as we continue on into the future. But I'm very happy that you are here. I wanted to let you know what we're going to be talking about today. We've got Mike Cox, who is a former attorney general for the state of Michigan. He's going to be on here talking about the Camp Lejeune issues that are out there and how you may be entitled to some compensation there. And I think that's important. We're also going to have General Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans and Brian Hayes from the Ann Arbor VA to talk about health, what's going on in the healthcare system at the VA, and also what some benefit might be for you. So if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call here at Veterans Radio. The number is 734-822-1600. We look forward to hearing from you. I've got one event that's coming up. And I would think that you guys would all like it. I was talking to an author the other day. His name is Don Bentley, and maybe some of you will recognize the name. He's one of the best-selling authors of, he's done some Tom Clancy things. He did Tom Clancy Zero Hour. He did Tom Clancy Flashpoint, Tom Clancy Target Acquired. And he's also written some books of his own called the Matt Drake novels. And they're really cool stories, and I'm anxious to talk to him later on. But he wrote Without Sanction, The Outside Man, Hostile Intent, Forgotten War, and his newest is the Forgotten War one. But the reason that I bring this up is twofold. Number one is he's going to be on our program on the 21st of May, and so we're going to be able to talk with him about his experiences and also about his books. But for those of you in southeastern Michigan, he is going to be at Hillsdale College this coming Thursday, May 4th at 7:30 at Hillsdale College. So here's your opportunity to talk to a real live author and a really live good author, which is even better. So I encourage you to go down there if you get the opportunity. Again, that's Hillsdale College. Name is Don Bentley, and he's a great writer. And he's going to be talking about his writing and about his experiences in the military as well. So that's my announcements I wanted to get out there. The other thing that I have to mention, of course, is we have to thank our sponsors every week. We want to make sure that, you know, that they are footing the bills for this adventure, as I call it. And that number one is Legal Help for Veterans. And Legal Help for Veterans is a law firm specializing in veterans disability claims. You can give them a call at 800-693-4800, or you can go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as the NVBDC, is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of a veteran-owned business. If you want to do business with the federal government or with many corporations and you want to claim that you're a veteran-owned business, you have to be certified that you really are a veteran-owned business. And these are the folks that can do that. So for more information, you can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information about them, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. Let's see, we got to thank the local VSOs here. We've got the Irwin Prescorn American Legion Post 43 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you would like to support Veterans Radio, feel free to go to our website, veteransradio.net. There's a donate button up there because we are a 501c3 nonprofit. And also you can become a sponsor. Want to sponsor the whole show? That would be great. If you want to sponsor the Medal of Honor segment that we do every week, that would be terrific. Or if you just want to dedicate an episode to someone in your family or someone that you served with, that's available as well. So go to veteransradio.net and click on that. All right, let's get right into the meat of this order here. I was reading all of these things, and it's I'll start this off. It says, if you were at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, between 1953 and 1987, you may be entitled to compensation. From 1953 to 1987, U.S. Marines, Navy corpsmen, and other sailors, their families, and civilian employees who were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune drank, showered, swam in, cooked with water contaminated with jet fuel, dry cleaning chemicals, abandoned or leaked jet fuel, truck fuel, metal cleaning solvents, buried ammunition, and other toxins. My guest today is Mike Cox, and Mike Cox was there during this whole thing. He was a corporal with Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 2nd Marines at Camp Lejeune as a grunt squad leader in 1982 and 83. So he knows of which he is talking. And a little bit more background about Mike is that he, he was elected twice as Michigan's Attorney General. He served as in Oakland County and later Wayne County prosecutor. So he knows what he's doing when it comes to litigation. And he is now off in his own law firm. And he's one of the things that he is doing is helping those of you who have, you know, were stationed at Camp Lejeune and may have some issues. So I want to welcome Mike Cox to Veterans Radio. Welcome.
Thank you, Dale. It's great being on. And it's truly a pleasure. And thank you for your service. It's kind of funny the way life works, right? 40 years ago, when I was hanging around Jacksonville and Camp Lejeune, I never would have expected that 40 years later, I'd still be connecting with my fellow Marines and trying to be the good NCO to make sure people get in the right place. And whether it's with our firm or many other law firms, for like some of my friends who are impacted by the deadly water that was at Camp Lejeune at the time, I'm trying to get people in the right place.
Well, could you explain to us what I was looking it up. It's the Camp Lejeune Justice Act of 2022, which only gives a 2-year window, it looks like.
That's correct. So President Biden.
That guy.
The big guy signed and I want to say August 11th of last year, the Camp Lejeune Justice Act of 2022. And that was passed in conjunction with the PACT Act. And it recognized the unique nature, as you probably know, and I know General Fasone and others know, the nature of Army, Navy, Air Force bases, Marine Corps bases is oftentimes that there can be, danger involved in toxic environmental hazards. But statistically, Camp Lejeune jumped off the map. And for a variety of reasons, the soil, the geography, for all those Marines who were there when I was there, whether it was 82 to 83 or before or after, you probably remember the 24-hour dry cleaners on base on, I believe, Holcomb Avenue Boulevard. And, you know, us Marines, we try and be spit and polish all the time, Dale. And that place was rocking all the time. But unfortunately, unbeknownst to us, but some further up the DOD command, they were dumping PCEs into the grass behind them. And as you mentioned, whether it's from ammunition stockpile not being done properly, dumping of diesel or other, machine oils, cleaning your weapon, cleaning the cartridges, improper storage, I hate to say, being a Marine. Now tens of thousands of Marines and their family members are living with the consequences. It's very un-Marine-like. It's not something I'm proud of, but it's a problem that we have to take care of. And the bipartisan Congress and President Biden passed this act, a special 2-year window for anyone who suffers from a variety of diseases. There are some putative diseases, which means there's 13 different diseases that are presumed to have been caused by Camp Lejeune water. And then there are others that are out there that the VA has already recognized beyond the original 13.
Okay. While I'm looking at my list, I want to ask you a little bit about that list for our audience that's that aren't Marines. Right. Where exactly is Camp Lejeune?
Camp Lejeune is in southern, I'd say southern North Carolina. It's down near the South Carolina border, not too far from Parris Island, which Cherry Hill, South Carolina, which was a home of the 2nd Marine Air Wing. It's in North Carolina. It was a home of the 2nd Marine Division. For Marines, we have three main divisions, the 1st Marine Division, Camp Pendleton, the 2nd in Camp Lejeune, the 3rd in Camp or in Okinawa. There's a couple different camps in Okinawa. And, you know, it was a home of, you know, some great fighting units. And it's about 450 square miles. And it's the perfect training for any kind of warfare going. And of course, because it was on the Atlantic coast, originally in the early 40s, when it really got going, it was set up to meet what was then the main mission of the Marine Corps, amphibious landings.
Right.
And so it was a great place to practice those. And it grew very quickly, obviously, because of World War II and then kind of then Korea and then the buildup for Vietnam.
Okay. I was looking at the article on your website, Mike Cox, I think it's MikeCoxLaw, right.com.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, yeah, MikeCoxLaw.com. And you were talking about the people that, you know, not only were the service members there, obviously, but everybody who lived on base, adults who lived on base, inclusive of pregnant women, workers employed, Marine personnel who trained and lived there. I was thinking as you were just rattling off the dry cleaners as an example, you know, in the Army, we weren't quite as straight as you guys, but we tried. But boy, did they throw starch in our clothes.
You're right.
I mean, they really literally could stand by themselves, and it would take you 10 minutes to get dressed in the morning because you're trying to force your hand through the pant leg.
Right.
I'm wondering, Camp Lejeune cannot be the only one that is contaminated by these things.
You know, I can't confirm that one way. That I will tell you that some of the studies done starting in 2007 up through 2017, there was four different major studies done by the federal government, Department of Health and Human Services, and they compared Camp Lejeune to Camp Pendleton, and other bases, and of course, the epidemiology of the American public at large. And Camp Lejeune was a stark outlier. Now, of course, you may be aware, like there are some, and I'm having a brain freeze here. There's the one base, Air Force and Army base in Arizona, that there was toxic contamination. But in terms of the Marine Corps, the Army, Camp Lejeune is unfortunately a leader in the wrong way here. And you point out one important thing. Many of the people impacted were civilian workers, as you know, and many of your listeners may or may not know. You know, every major base, there are civilian workers there. Family members, you know, in fact, I have a former Marine Corps general. He's a major general, served 37 years, and he has a couple dependents who live there with him, who have horrendous diseases, renal cancer, kidney cancer, bladder cancer, with no family history. You know, those are some of the putative, the ones that the Senate and the Department of Health and Human Services have recognized as caused by contaminated water. So Dale, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but, I'm not an epidemiologist, but this is unfortunately been the forerunner in the American Armed Services.
Well, I was, and maybe we can ask Carol Ann to jump in on this because she might be able to help us pronounce some of these things. But I was looking at some of the compounds that were, you know, were dumped around the area, and it was, you know, benzene, perchlo, ethylene, a lot of things, vinyl chloride, doesn't even sound good to say in it, methylene, right, chloride, and dicloethylene.
That's pretty good. You've done better than I would, yes. I just use the initials, you know, so the big four, and again, their compounds are, as you said, benzene, TCE, PCE, and vinyl chloride, which can be a byproduct of TCE and PCE. Okay. But suffice it to say, it's a lot of nasty stuff.
It is. And the cancers that are listed, I mean, there's 20 of them here, and it seems like almost every part of your body can be affected by these things, along with reproductive health and other complications, including Parkinson's, cognitive disabilities, scleroderma, renal toxicity, teeth issues, and everything. All right, so let's suppose that I was at Camp Lejeune from 53 to 83, and I'm starting to show up some of these things, and I need help. What do I do?
Well, there's a couple of things you should do. So you have a great sponsor who can help with VA benefits. So I would go to their website because there's a couple. So there's two strategies for anyone who's starting to suffer from any of these diseases. One is to contact the VA to see if your disease is covered. The second is to find a good law firm that's doing these. Of course, if you go to MikeCoxLaw.com, we think we're pretty good. We've been doing this for a while, and there are cases like this, but there's others out there, and explore it. And one thing I want to let folks know, Dale, is that if you are getting VA benefits, or if you were to qualify in the future, the fact that you were to file a lawsuit does not disqualify or make you ineligible for continuing to get the benefits. The VA has been very explicit by that. And in fact, I could give you a website if your folks want to check it out. But if you just call 1-800-MY-VA-411, the operators there will let you know, the specialists there will let you know that, and probably would encourage you to explore not only your VA rights and benefits, but also explore legal remedies, because the VA benefits General Fasone is intimately involved, given her medical background with VA benefits. But they address kind of just one piece of the puzzle, which is the harms you're incurring now, right? And so my daughter was in Camp Fallujah for 13 months in 2004 and 5, and she has a slight disability eligibility, and she gets a small payment every month for her hips. But a lawsuit deals with kind of like the economic damages, the damages to your interaction with your family, the change in your lifestyle. And Congress and President Biden recognized that there was a quantitative and qualitative difference between what was happening to the Camp Lejeune Marine veterans and their family members and corpsmen than it was happening anywhere else in the U.S. Armed Services world.
You know, the point, Dale, that Attorney General Cox just made is very critical, because at Camp Lejeune and with the PAC Act, this is the only disability, or I would say the lawsuit, that it is recognizing family members and also second generation. So some of these individuals that had children and their grandchildren that are now coming up with these unique diseases that there was no history. When we go after disability ratings, it's for the veteran. It doesn't extend to the family, but this Camp Lejeune Act of August of 2022 does allow for family members to get in there. So if you have any questions, I think, you know, call Mike Cox Law Firm regarding the Camp Lejeune. Research this, make some phone calls. It's a 2-year window. Don't let this pass without asking the big questions.
Right. And so the other thing I wanted to emphasize is that this lawsuit that you know, that you may have to file to be compensated, you're not suing the Marines.
No, sir. And ultimately, it'll be the Department of Justice that deals and settles. Now, you file an administrative claim initially with the Navy JAG. And then if that's not resolved, then the Department of Justice would be on the other side of you. And they're very good lawyers. And, you know, they have their own separate charge to fight back, quite frankly. And that's why it's important to check your rights and get with a good accredited law firm that can help you negotiate the path here.
What is the average compensation that you have found so far?
Well, you know, There is no average at Dale. There have been 30,000 cases filed with the department. Yeah, and this is brand new. This isn't like a slip and fall, or this isn't a car accident case. And so we're writing on a blank slate right now. But obviously, having damages like some of the presumptive diseases of liver or bladder cancer, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, those kind of damages impact on a family relationships. Yeah. Birth defects can be pretty severe, and the damages are likely to be in any settlement or trial to be fairly high.
How much did they allocate for this funds, or is it kind of open-ended?
It's open-ended. Right now, there's a fund called the Justice Fund, which is not part of the annual appropriations. And so the federal government is required to pay whatever settlements are done out of that fund, or any trial that's out of that fund. Again, we're a blank slate, and it's been difficult for the Department of Defense and the Department of Justice to figure this out. And, I'm a 33-year lawyer, and this is some pretty tricky stuff. So it's, you need to have the right sort of folks guiding you.
Michael, I got a question for you. So I'm a widow. And my spouse was Marine. He was at Camp Lejeune. I served with him at Camp Lejeune. Right. And my veteran died, had a disability rating out there, but he has passed away. Is a family member eligible to apply for this once the veteran has died? If he honorable discharge, serve within that period of time. Is there any eligibility to go after this lawsuit?
A great question, General. The answer is absolutely yes. In fact, Gunnery Sergeant Bach, who recruited me in 1980 into the Marine Corps, his widow talked to me. He ended up as a Master Gunnery Sergeant after that. We've been giving her some advice on that. So absolutely. There is a little hole in the legislation. Doesn't distinctly say that, but generally in most every state in America, there's this idea of a wrongful death. Mm-hmm. And Dale, you or your listeners can imagine, if I were to be in a car accident on the way home from my office tonight, and the other driver was at fault, my family could file a wrongful death case. And mm-hmm. It's much the same thing under this. It's not specifically stated, but we encourage everyone to take a look at that. And as General Fasone, that's a great question. And what we do is we help the family set up an estate if they don't already have one. It's not too difficult. And we go from there.
Well, this is, it's scary when you think about all the things that service members can be exposed to. I mean, in addition to the bad guys. Right. These are, at home more than anything else. And I'm really grateful for you, Mike, for being on our program today and kind of helping us figure out what we can do. And so if our audience is out there and they have any questions, I would suggest, this is a little bit on our side, contact Mike Cox at MikeCoxLaw.com. If you got a phone number that you could give out?
Sure. For those in Michigan, it's 734-591-4002. But also to make it toll free, it's just 833 Mike Cox. Pretty easy. Okay.
I can remember that myself.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Mike, thank you very much. And keep us informed, if you would, please. I think this is really an important issue for our veteran listening audience and their families, as Carol Ann pointed out there.
Yes. It's a stunning and sad but important new wrinkle in kind of the area of the veterans world, and folks should pay attention to it. And of course, I'd love to come back and talk about it as we move along. Thank you very much, Dale.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. We are going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking with Carol Ann Falzone, General Falzone, Anwin from Legal Help for Veterans, and Brian Hayes from the Ann Arbor VA. So if you have any questions, you know the number. Give us a call at that time. So we'll be right back after this short message.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Lieutenant Edward Isaac escaped twice from the Germans during World War I. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Isaac was captured and held as a prisoner on board the German submarine U-90 when the USS President Lincoln was attacked and sunk. Upon the return of the submarine to Germany, he was confined in a prison camp. During his stay on the U-90, he obtained information of the movements of German submarines, which was so important that he determined to escape with a view to making this information available to the U.S. and Allied naval authorities. In attempting to carry out this plan, he jumped through the window of a rapidly moving train at the imminent risk of death, not only from the nature of the act itself, but from the fire of the armed German soldiers who were guarding him. Having been recaptured and reconfined, Lieutenant Isaac made a second successful attempt to escape, breaking his way through barbed wire fences and deliberately drawing the fire of the armed guards in the hope of permitting others to escape during the confusion. He made his way through the mountains of southwestern Germany, having only raw vegetables for food, and at the end, swam the Rhine River during the night in the immediate vicinity of German sentries to reach Allied forces.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and this is our benefits program. The last program of every month is our benefits program. And joining me on the line right now is retired Brigadier General Carol Ann Falzone, Air Force type person from Legal Help for Veterans and from the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center, the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center, is Brian Hayes, Public Relations Director over there. So welcome, guys. Welcome back.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dale. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Brian, let's get going. What's going on at the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center and any other VAs that you're aware of out there?
Well, pretty much all of us are involved in many of the same things right now, particularly, PACT Act things. And I'll talk about PACT Act in just a couple of seconds, but I just wanted to mention that we had a really nice event this past week at our new Adrian Clinic, the clinic in Adrian, Michigan, and a little open house there, and got a bunch of folks enrolled at that event. So we're really happy to be able to get veterans enrolled and down there and get our clinics where our veterans are rather than making them, drive all the way to Ann Arbor. Coming up this week, we're going to be dedicating our Canton clinic as the Major General Oliver W. Dillard VA outpatient clinic. So that's coming up on Friday, the official ceremony finally, even though the clinic opened 2 years ago. But now as COVID is lifting and we're, for the most part, folks, I think are pretty much back to their normal lives, we're able to do some of these ceremonies again. And we've got more coming up, lots of PACT Act events coming up, lots of opportunities for veterans to come out and see us and go through the screening process and see if you're eligible for those PACT Act benefits. In fact, just since we started in December, we've screened right around 26,000 veterans just in Ann Arbor, just at the Ann Arbor VA. Wow. And I believe I read last week that VA wide, we've screened about 500,000 veterans. And as far as Ann Arbor goes, those 26,000 gleaned about a little between 11 and 12,000 who were in need of a second look, which means there's something there that we need to take a look at. So that definitely getting those veterans out there to the or benefits out to the veterans who deserve them.
Well, I think it's great that the you know, what the VA is trying to do, and we're going to talk a little bit about a news story that came in, you know, with the House of Representatives proposed budget that may affect some of these things with the PACT Act, you know, what they promised and, you know, what's going to may happen to the funding, but we'll get into that later. But do we have any, how much time have we got, right? What was I going to ask you? Oh, so the VA is, you know, you've opened the women's clinic now, and I talked mm-hmm. to a couple of other women veterans who love the concept and love the idea. They've been there, and you know, they're being treated really specially, which is really important.
It's a beautiful clinic, and that was the whole point of it, to make it a space, you know, of their own, that they can call their own, and you know, just really enjoy the privacy of it, and the camaraderie in that clinic, and just the whole space inside and the area outside of it, just beautiful. I just have to say, our interior designers did a really nice job on this clinic.
They did. I'm always talking very positively about the Ann Arbor VA, and I apologize to anybody out there who you know, just gets sick of hearing about what a great VA we have. But you know, if you call for an appointment, somebody calls you back usually within 24 hours, and they set an appointment within, you know, within a couple of weeks, not months. So again, Brian, you know, just kudos to what's going on at the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center.
I'll pass that along to the team. Thank you.
It's very effective. Is there anything else that you can think of news-wise that we would be interested in finding out? And I mean, you mentioned the clinics, which I think is a great idea. You said that you were down in Adrian. Howell is open.
We're going to be doing it. Yeah, Howell is open. We're going to be doing another open house in Howell. That one's in planning. And I think I mentioned last time I was on, Dale, that we're in the process of securing a location for our new clinic down in Ohio in the Hancock County area, which will be in the Findlay, Fostoria kind of neighborhood right around that area. So there's a definite need there. There's a giant hole in the VA map in that area where veterans need care. Otherwise, they have to drive way up to Toledo, and they're in our catchment area. So if they need services that are not offered in Toledo, they have to drive all the way to Ann Arbor. So we're going to get that clinic down there. And we're also in the process, speaking of Toledo, of expanding Toledo's specialty services. Toledo is growing. It's going to be something pretty special here in the next few years.
Wow. I hope so.
Yeah.
I think we got to get on Congress's back and say, hey, you know, you guys, let's fund these things. Yeah. You know, you promised us that we would get care. So maybe keep things going.
Yeah, it's one of those things, Dale, where there's different buckets of money, right? There's like construction and general fund, and there's money for growing the size of CBOCs and things like that. And, you know, we're actually in the process of getting all of this done already. It's already gone through the process of funding. So really it's a go. It's just a matter of going through the contracting process, which can be a little cumbersome, and getting the work done. We're really excited. There's going to be so many new specialty clinics in the Toledo outpatient clinic that our hope is that our veterans down there won't have to be so inconvenienced with such a long drive up to Ann Arbor to get some of the sort of common care that you would get in a lot of, you know, ambulatory care centers.
Right. I can relate to that. That's mm-hmm. a long ride down there.
It is. It's about an hour drive, but you know, it's a long way, and it's on 23, which is just terrible. So,
well, you know, we all know about Michigan roads. So at least, you know, they didn't necessarily have to begin construction on all of the roads at the same time.
I noticed that too. I think I read that there was actually a shortage of orange barrels because of that. I read that a couple of years ago.
I don't know. They seem to be, they're everywhere. But it is that season. They just grow out of the ground, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brian, thanks very much for, you know, keeping us up to date on what is happening with the Ann Arbor VAs, especially. And of course, anytime there's any, you know, nationwide event, we would love to know about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on again, Dale.
Thank you, and good luck with your allergies.
Oh, thank you. It's good seeing you again, Carol Ann. We'll see you next time.
Excellent. Thanks, Brian.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, I don't know if somebody called my phone. I'm probably by mistake. Let me give out the number again for the station, and that is 734-822-1600. So we're now moving over to the benefits side of the VA world. So Carol Ann, what's happening with that?
Well, I just want to take a second. If Brian would have stayed on, I wanted to point out something on the VHA side, which I think is really important. So when we've noticed this escalate a little bit since the VA, if you recall, Brian announced, and we talked about it one of our benefits week, that the VA has is supporting the idea that if you need to go to an emergency room and you need care, and it is like we just talked about, Toledo's an hour away, yeah, or go to your community, the nearest emergency room, and they would take care of you. Well, in doing that, you've got to make several phone calls if you're in the system. And so a lot of veterans are calling the VA in Ann Arbor, let's say, and I think I'm having a heart attack, and they'll say, go to your nearest emergency room. That's great. The VA will log in that Carol Ann Fossone called in, and they encourage you to go to your nearest emergency room. So then whatever emergency room you go to in the community, when you're rolling in, or if you're a family member, they need to say to the nurses, the physician, hey, I'm a veteran. I belong to the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center. And hopefully they will get the authorization number. But what I'm encouraging all the families and the veterans to do is to take this number. And if you're in an emergency room, within 72 hours, you need to call the hotline and make it known that you went to an emergency room so that the VA could pick up the bill. I think this is real critical. We've had multiple of our clients calling in that they've been sent to collections. Uh-huh. They thought they did the right thing by notifying their local clinic or their VA medical center. However, this is across the country. You need to call the 72-hour number, and that is 844-724-7842. I'll mention that again, 844-724-7842. So then I'm going to give you another number. And well, that's the
VA authorization number. You call and say, hey,
yes, that's
my spouse is in the emergency room here.
Yes. Okay. It's called, Dale, the 72-hour hotline.
Okay.
So then let's say I did that and I'm still sent to collections. The another number you need, and we've been dealing with this and we were able to get several resolved, is the National Community Care Emergency Line. Should there be an issue with the bill and that, you know, you didn't call in, and that number is 877-881-7618. And that's the follow-up call if you should have any issues. We've been noticing this. I mean, it's not a ton, but if it affects you and you want to get the bill resolved, you need to know who to call.
Right. And that was the National Community, what was the last word?
The National Community Care Emergency Line.
Okay. National Community Emergency Care. No. Emergency line. I don't write quickly.
That's okay. And only call that if there is a dispute, if there's something going on where your bill is not picked up.
Got it. Got it. I think those are really important for our listeners to know, because, as I was saying, Toledo's a long way away for even those people down there. And I forgot to ask Brian a question, too, of where is the next VA from here? Is it in Columbus, Ohio, or is it in Cleveland? Is there one?
Well, there's one in Cleveland. There's one in Indianapolis, a regional VA medical center. But if
in Dayton. I'll bet you there's one near Dayton, too.
Well, there's Dingle. In our Michigan, we have five. There's Saginaw, Battle Creek, there's Iron Mountain, that are designated as VA medical centers. And then you get into the echelons of care where you got the clinics. And I love what Brian was talking about. If you looked at, and every VA medical center has the clinics, the encatchment, Brian used that word, that so you're only going so many miles before you to get to an echelon of care. And I think that's really important. But major centers from us, Cleveland is, and matter of fact, and the Indianapolis. And so, dealing with some of the specialties like paraplegics, I still believe they go into Indianapolis or would go to Cleveland with the specialty VAs.
Right. The reason for this is because we are on stations not only in Detroit where there's the Dingle VA, but also out in California and in Minnesota, where I'm assuming there is probably a VA near Minneapolis.
Yes.
And probably more than one out in California.
So, well, Palo Alto in California is, I think, the leading spinal cord center in the country. It's one of the most, and there's others. But, when you talked about California, they've got a really specialized VA medical center there.
One of the things, real, real quickly about the VA medical centers is that they many of them have agreements or, teamwork with major university hospitals.
Yes.
So they kind of share facilities where, we have the advantage here of the University of Michigan Medical Center. And I know many veterans that I know have had major surgeries done at U of M. And also I know of other ones that have been sent to other VA hospitals for, whatever treatment they need. So you can bash the VA all you want, but we, most of us have had pretty good experiences with it. And if you are having a bad experience, you need to, get some help. The best one, one of the best ways to get things I've found is if you call your local congressman, seems to me magic happens. And I'm not sure, how they do that, but I've had a couple of friends that had issues, and they contacted our local congressperson, and the next thing it's resolved. So, don't be afraid. You have to take care of things yourself. If things aren't going the way you think they should be, let people know. I mean, there's all kinds of advisors and there's all kinds of coordinators and everything else in the VA system. And if you can find a good one, you're going to be much better off.
Dale, your point is exactly correct, because, here at Veterans Radio, our callers could email you if they have questions, and you try to get the answers for all of those questions, whether it's VHA, on the cemetery side or on the benefit side. And so if you don't ask, you're going to never know what you might be entitled to. So I think that's really critical. And it gets back to the point that, having Mike Cox on today was great, because, people think, okay, I have a disability benefit and, I was at Camp Lejeune and I'm going to lose my benefits if I go after the lawsuit. That's not true. Or the widow who says, I can't get anything. That's not true. So you know, I just really would encourage individuals just to ask questions and get it affirmed what they're entitled to.
Oh, absolutely. I was at a Woman Veterans Strong conference yesterday in Detroit, and they were extolling the virtues of going to the VA, and they were trying to convince, there was a lot of younger women veterans at this particular conference, but they were also talking about some of the benefits that we're not aware of, you know, the idea of caregiver benefits and the, you know, respite care. If, you know, if you're taking care of a veteran and you just need a break, that the VA is there to help you, and they have those benefits available to you. And, you know, we've talked about it here on the program before. I got a message. Oh, this is going pretty quickly today. So we got to get you to call your congressman, folks. Here's one thing. This came from a lawyer friend of mine, and it says, nope, I'm okay. Anyway,
Jimmy,
I got you. You're there.
Dale just froze on me.
All right, I can still hear her.
Okay, excellent. I now hear you, Dale.
Okay, the joys of technology, you know, just kind of freeze there. But the point was, a lawyer friend of ours sent me this over to talk about it real quick. And it's the as I mentioned, the free Uber and Lyft rides that the veteran
froze again.
Is paying, that they'll end in May. And the reason this is ending is that they are where did it go? Here it is. The declaration of the end of the public service emergency, you know, the COVID thing, has occurred. It's going to occur on May 11th. And these benefits for these veterans that were taking Uber and Lyft and other forms to get to their VA appointments is also going to end at that time. And so what we are encouraging you to do is, not only all of the veteran service organizations out there and what they've done, is contact your congressperson, whoever it might be, and tell them that they need to extend this benefit. The numbers are pretty astounding, I think. It says that 750,000 Uber and Lyft rides over the last 2 years have been completed, getting the veteran to their appointments, getting the veterans to their clinic, getting their veterans to the VA hospital if they need it. You know, we all know that there are many veterans out there right now that are by themselves. You know, they don't have a partner. Some are in dire situations, dire straits, just like the rest of our population. And this is a one benefit that I think is so important that we get this to continue. So please contact your congressman, congresswoman, and let them know that this has to occur. Because I, you know, you think about some of these men and women that are confined to their homes, and this is the only way they can get to their appointments. And it's reasonable, and they get reimbursed for it. So this is the big thing right there. So please contact them. That's what they're there for. All right. So are we back?
I think so.
It looks like we're back. We got about 5 minutes to go. The other article that I found it today is, And this was on military.com, so I'm not saying that, you know, everything is absolutely correct and everything, and, you know, how people kind of get all excited about things when, you know, it threatens their territory. But on military.com, the commentary was that the proposed GOP cuts, they're saying, would slash $30 billion with a B from veteran spending. And this is discretionary spending, I'm assuming. This is not, you know, the money that is guaranteed to the VA. But even just the thought of this is frightening, and is going through the veterans community right now going, oh, no, you can't do that, because that's going to cut out this and that's going to cut out that. So we've got to be very careful about this. Another thing to, let's see if we can get a little bipartisanship going on in Congress. And let's have President Biden and his people sit down and go through this budget and see what we can do. Because you can't, you know, even the threat of cutting budgets for the VA or any other medical program that the government controls, the anxiety levels are going to go through the roof.
Well, it's already starting, Dale, because, you know, we got several calls in when I think this was released regarding, oh my God, you know, I'm being called back in for exams. And I thought it was total and permanent. And is this a way they're trying to take away, you know, my disability benefits? You got to help us. Why is this happening? And, I know we will make calls. We will try to find out what is the reason for the exams. And, or, you know, a veteran who says, I didn't get any notice of an exam, and now they're getting, you know, maybe dinged on mm-hmm. the back end, and they're fearful they're not going to get a disability benefit. So I think it's really important when things are released like this, it does put a fear into our veterans.
Yeah, and you know, and all things being equal, you know, the Republicans in the House have said, no, it's not going to affect any veterans' benefits at all. And we're not going to cut any veterans' things. But they didn't put that in writing. So, you know, that's where that issue comes into play. So, again, we urge you to contact your congressman and woman, you know, just to get the clarification in there if we need to. So we're coming up toward the end of the program again already. And I've got a little song that we're going to play, but stick around, General Sohn. I want to announce the song before we play it. And this is, you know, what I've been trying to do is I want everybody to be nice. I want everybody to be a little bit more patriotic, a little bit more understanding of what's going on in our country. You know, not everybody's mad and, you know, Looney Tune type people. So we're going to play a recut of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. And in addition, not only it's going to be Lee Greenwood, it's the United States Air Force Band, the Singing Sergeants, and the Home Free. When I found this song, I just said, oh, this is great. And so that's what we're going to go out on today. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, if you have any questions in the future, let us know about benefits, health, disability, whatever it has. Next week on Veterans Radio, we are going to have a representative from the Operation Song program down in Nashville. And I mentioned that's where the veteran gets together with a professional songwriter and they write the veteran's story and turn it into music. So make sure that you tune in next week for that. Following week is Mother's Day weekend. We've got special program for Mother's Day. And then, as I said, on the 21st, we're going to have Don Bentley on, and he's going to be talking about his books, especially Forgotten War. If you get the opportunity, head down to Hillsdale this Thursday night, May 4th, and we can do that. All right? So, Carol Ann Felsone, thank you very much for being on our program. I look forward to talking to you next week. Actually, if you could stick around after the end here, I have a question for you.
Sure. And I think, Dale, you heard the invite from Mike Cox. Get him back.
We got to go. All right. So until next week, this is Dale Thornberry. You are dismissed.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
There ain't no doubt I love this land.
Cause
of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to L.A.,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and say,